Praise God. We have been in Luke chapter 22. I was a little surprised. I looked back this morning and I believe this is the fourth week that we're in Luke 22. I think we're going to have Luke 22 under our belts pretty good here by the time we get done. Last week we talked about Peter's denial, but I told you last week that I would not be able to say everything about Peter's denial of Christ in that one session. And so this is going to be, for lack of a better word, part two, Peter's denial part two. And we're going to start reading at Luke chapter 22, verses 54 through 62. And I was wondering if there was somebody here. I've got the verses right up on the screen. Is there somebody here that would like to read the text this morning? Sister Kristen?
Then they seized him and led him away, bringing him into the high priest's house, and Peter was following at a distance. And when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat down among them. Then a servant girl, seeing him as he sat in the light and looking closely at him, said, "This man also was with him." But he denied it, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." And a little later, someone else saw him and said, "You are also one of them." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." And after an interval of about an hour, still another insisted, saying, "Certainly this man also was with him, for he too is a Galilean." But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you are talking about." And immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the saying of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly.
Amen. Amen. Let's pray today. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we are thankful for your word. God, we ask that you would open our minds, open our ears, open our hearts. Lord, let your word not just be in our minds tonight, but let it go deep down into our hearts. Lord, let your word be a light unto our path. Oh God, light our way today with your word, God. In these times that we're living in, Lord, so desperately we need a foundation that we can stand on. And Lord, we know that we can stand on your word. And God, quicken our understanding to your word today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You can be seated today. The very first verse of this text that we read today, verse 54, talks about them coming to the Garden of Gethsemane and arresting Jesus. And if you look at this portrayal, one of the things that, this is just my opinion, and you might say, Brother Wiggins, you're slinging mud today, but let me just sling a little mud here, is that if you look at these rulers of the temple that wanted Jesus killed, you notice that they did not go themselves. They did not have the guts to go there themselves. They sent their servants to do it. And that is why the servants needed Judas to show them who Jesus was. The rulers of the Pharisees, they knew what Jesus looked like. He had been teaching daily in the temple. They knew who he was. But they didn't. But it says that they came and they seized him and led him away, bringing him to the high priest's house. And Peter was following at a distance. And today we're talking about Peter's denial. And so you're probably, and we talked about it last week, you're probably expecting me to throw Peter under the bus today and just talk about how bad he was because he denied the Lord. And you might be a little surprised that I'm going to be a little bit defensive of Peter today. Going to be a little defensive of him. And when we're going to go through these verses, and we're going to read about probably the greatest failure, the darkest moment of the Apostle Peter's life, his greatest failure. We're going to read this and we're going to go through it. And we could sit on the sidelines here in the year 2022 and throw rocks and say bad things about Peter and how that he didn't have enough faith, and we can do all that. But just remember, there's a little bit of Peter in all of us. Okay? But it says, and I want to open up this with this first verse. that it says that they seized Jesus and they drove him away. They led him away, bringing him to the high priest's house. And Peter was what? What does the last part of this verse say? And Peter was following at a distance. You say, well, Brother Wiggins, what's the significance of that? Let me tell you the significance of that. Peter might have denied Jesus, but he never stopped following him. You hear what I'm saying? Let me put it to you this way. Peter lost the battle. We're gonna read about it today, and he's gonna lose the battle, man. But he ultimately won the war. He denied the Lord, but he never stopped following him. And he was following him at a distance. And the next verse, 55, says, and when they had kindled a fire in the courtyard, this is the house, this is the home of the high priest. When they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat down with them. Well, you say, what's the significance of that? Well, let me ask you this much. How did Peter get in there in the first place? How did Peter get in there in the first place? Because if you read the other gospel accounts, there was a gate. And there was a servant girl, a young servant girl, that was the gatekeeper. This was the temple police were there. This was the high priest's home. And not just anybody could get in. You only got in by permission. So you ask yourself, how did Peter get in there in the first place? Well, let's look at John chapter 18, verses 15 and 16. It says, Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Okay? Luke only talks about Peter following Jesus. But John in his gospel, every time John ever referred to himself, John didn't like to call himself by name. So whenever John wanted to refer to himself, he would say, the other disciple, or another disciple. So when it says another disciple, we're talking the Apostle John that wrote the book of Revelation, that wrote the Gospel of John and the three epistles, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. It says so that Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. And since that disciple was known to the high priest, in other words, John knew the high priest. He knew the staff that worked in that house. He says he entered with Jesus into the courtyard because John was known to the high priest. But Peter stood outside the door. Peter couldn't get in. So the other disciple who was known to the high priest went out and spoke to the servant girl who kept watch at the door and brought Peter in. And so you say, well, what's the significance of that, Brother Wiggins? I'll tell you what the significance of that is. Peter followed Jesus, and John was there too. John was there too. And again, I'm defending Peter a little bit today. Him and John were behind enemy lines, if you will. If this would have been a military conflict, him and John would have been very deeply, very far behind enemy lines. But this was their master. This was their teacher. They had spent the last 3.5 years with him. He had called them, and they were going to go and follow Jesus, even though they had to go behind enemy lines to do it. Friend, I don't know what that speaks to you, but that speaks just the desperation that some people have to follow Jesus. That they're going to follow Jesus even if following Jesus takes them into a dangerous situation. Even if following Jesus puts them behind enemy lines, oh well, we're going to do it anyway. It says in verse 56 and 57, it says, then a servant girl, seeing him as he sat in the light and looking closely at him, looked at Peter and said, this man also was with him. But he, Peter, denied it, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." Amazing to me at how Peter, big, burly, strong. I mean, we don't have any photos of Peter. He didn't have a Facebook page. He didn't have a Snapchat account. So we don't have any photos of Peter. But historians that wrote, history has it that Peter was bigger than the other men, most other men, wider shouldered, thicker shouldered, red-headed, big, burly, and strong. The kind of guy you would not want to meet in a dark alley, okay? And here he is, big and strong, and what brings him down? What melts him down? And it's important to see this and realize later on what was going on. It was not a soldier confronting Jesus. It was not, it was not the temple police there with swords and with spears. All it was a teenage girl. What brought this big, strong, burly guy to his knees with fear? Not soldiers, but just a servant girl. Look at verse 58. A little later, someone else, that was his first denial. Remember, Jesus told him, "You're going to deny me three times." And so he denied the first time to the servant girl. The second time, in verse 58, it says, a little later, someone else saw him and said, "You are also one of them." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." Now, when Peter said, "Man, I'm not," he's not talking in the English vernacular like we have where you go, "Man, I'm not." No, he was saying, "Sir, I'm not." And so it's important to see this because that means that the individual that was talking to Peter here was a man. And in fact, if you look at in the Greek, when it talks about that later on, someone else, that in the Greek is masculine, not feminine. So in the Greek, we read, it becomes very clearly that it was a man that sometime later said, "You were one of him." And you say, "Well, Brother Wiggins, I don't really see what the significance of that is." Well, maybe let's look at one other thing. If you look at the other Gospels, because this Peter's denial, all of this is in all four Gospels. This is in all four Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all covered this. And one Gospel talks about it, Luke talks about it being a man. But when you read Matthew's account and Mark's account, John's account, one says that it was another servant girl. And then one says, another gospel says, that it was that same servant girl coming back a second time. And so you say, Brother Wiggins, now we're in a whole world of problems. Because we've got all these discrepancies here. One gospel on the second denial, one gospel says it was a man. Another gospel says it was the same servant girl. Another gospel says that it was some other servant girl. No, there's no contradiction here. There's no contradiction here. You say, "Well, then what? How did it happen, Brother Wiggins?" I'll tell you what you put these together. It started with just this little servant girl. And then when it came around to the second time, you've got a man saying it. You've got another servant girl saying it. And you've got the original servant girl saying it. Peter, if you can focus or picture this in your mind, Peter is starting to get surrounded. Okay? So again, before we throw Peter under the bus today, before we say, "You dirty dog, you denied Christ. If I would have been there, I would have not done that. I would have been rolling up my shirt sleeves." Well, when you start putting those gospels together, now in this second denial, you've got three different people. He's getting surrounded now. This isn't going good. This isn't going the right way. And then when you look a little farther in verse 59, it says, "And after an interval of about an hour," so here's Peter, he's getting surrounded by people that are accusing him of being a disciple of Jesus. But he sticks it out. and he stays there because that's his Lord. And it says in verse 59, after an interval of about an hour, still another insisted, saying, certainly this man was with him, for he too is a Galilean. And Matthew talks about, you know, that his accent betrays him because people from Galilee had a different accent. And I don't want anybody saying anything about my accent here today. Fine, I'm from New Mexico. Deal with it. But this third denial, if just put yourself in Peter's sandals here for a second, okay? This third denial is really going to rock your world. Remember, it started with just a little servant girl. And then it escalates to where it's that servant girl, another servant girl, and some other guy. Now this third denial, you've got, it just says somebody else. That's what Luke says. But let's look at what John said. Because remember, John was there. John was an eyewitness to all of this. Let's look at John 18, verses 26 and 27. One of the servants of the high priest, so this man that Luke says just, you know, someone else, called him someone else, John gives us a little detail. He says this quote-unquote someone else was one of the servants of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off. Oh, no. Oh, my. So now Peter thought he was getting surrounded. Now he's got a guy that is a relative of the guy that got his ear cut off by Peter there in the Garden of Gethsemane. Is this bad? Well, it's not good. It's not good. This is not going the right way. And that's where Peter, I mean, listen, he was a big, strong man. He was a burly man. But now, I mean, now he's got somebody that can place him in the Garden of Gethsemane and somebody that can even say that they've got proof that he took a sword and took a whack at the servant of the high priest. And Peter's thinking, you know what? I'm going to be getting three hots and a cot here for the rest of my life. Can you see the dilemma when we just start going verse by verse here? Can you see the dilemma that Peter was in? Can you see the bind that he was in here? He was getting surrounded. And it says in verse 60 that Peter said, man, or sir, I do not know what you are talking about. And immediately while he was still speaking, guess what happened? That rooster crowed. And Jesus had told Peter, before the rooster gets done crowing, you're going to have denied me three times. In Mark chapter 14, Mark's portrayal of this last third denial, Mark worded it like this. It says that he began to invoke a curse upon himself and to swear. In other words, he swore an oath, if you will. He didn't. I used to think that he cussed. I don't think he was cussed. I don't think it said that he sweared. You know, hey, I don't know what the, you know, you're talking about. I don't think that's what happened here. I think that he took an oath, swore an oath saying, when it says he began to swear, he took an oath saying, no, I do not know this man. And you say, well, what's the significance of that, Brother Wiggins? Well, I want to ask you, in Matthew chapter 16, who was the guy? Remember in Matthew 16, Jesus says, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, well, some say you're Elijah raised from the dead, or John, or not raised from the dead, but Elijah, or John the Baptist raised from the dead, or one of the other prophets. But who do you say that I am? Who was it in that loud voice that stood up and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God? That was Peter. That was Peter. Remember when Jesus taught them about being, saying in John, about I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. When he talked about eating the bread of life and all of that, and it said he offended so many of his followers, and it said many turned around and wouldn't follow him anymore. And Jesus turned to his disciples and he said, are you guys going to leave me also? And if you look in John chapter 6, verse 67 and 68, Jesus said to the 12, do you want to go away as well? In other words, all of them are leaving me. Are you going to leave me as well? Look at who it was that answered him and said, Lord, it was Peter. Peter answered him and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Only you've got the words of life. So this is the tragic part about it. I mean, this is, to me, this is heart-rending. He loved Jesus. This was his Lord and Master. He went behind enemy lines. He was dodging these accusations. But in that last denial, he said, I don't know the man. In other words, he repudiated everything he said in Matthew 16 when he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living. He repudiated it. And then verse 61. And this, I don't know. I've got a vivid imagination. When I was younger, I would, Brother Brian, I'd read those Lewis L'Amour novels. Brian, me and you've read a ton of those. Brian, you don't understand. When I get to reading one of those Lewis L'Amour novels, my imagination is so vivid. I'm no longer in my living room. Like, I'm out there in the Old West on a horse. I mean, I'm there. I'm doing it, man. I am doing it. And then I can close my eyes and just the theater of the mind, as they would say. And if you look at this verse, this verse here, verse 61, I can visualize this in my mind. Jesus is on trial over here. There's probably a window that no glass is in it. But Peter can see Jesus. Jesus can see Peter. Peter's over here by the fire. Jesus is over there by where they're going, asking him the questions. And when Peter denies him and then that rooster crows, it says, and I can visualize this in my mind, the Lord turned and looked. Jesus didn't have to say anything. Jesus didn't have to say one word. All it took was just making eye contact. And it was, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Oh. And in fact, just a little bit of trivia. In the Greek, where it says, the Lord turned and looked at him, this is identical Greek wording for the very beginning when Peter met Jesus for the first time. And Jesus called him to be one of the 12. If you'll go back and look at that, it says, and Jesus looked at Peter and said, Simon, your name is Simon, but after that, from now on, you shall be named Peter. He changed his name. So that same wording that Jesus looked at him and called him to be the Apostle Peter, now it's the same wording. Jesus is looking at him. You just denied me. Man. Wow. Friend, that's poignant. That's poignant. That's poignant stuff right there. And it says that, and I want to just do this. I'm going to preach about another 10 minutes here. Don't worry. You're safe here. I'm not going to preach much longer. It says that, if you look here, I would just like to analyze, if I could, Peter's denial. And it says, and we already covered verse 55, it says that they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard. Yeah, it was a chilly night. Jerusalem was a half a mile above sea level, and the climate was very cool in the spring and in the fall. It was cold, so they built a fire. And some people, and I want to remind you again, there's a lot of people that talk about Peter was, they in error accuse Peter of standing with the Lord's enemies just because he was there at the fire. And they like to say that he should not have been warming. And I've even heard this preached before, that the reason that Peter denied the Lord is that he was warming himself at the enemy's fire. Well, no. I'm sorry. I think we've demonstrated from the scripture today that Peter wasn't there to warm himself. He wasn't there out of carnality. He wasn't there just out of mere carnal curiosity. And he wasn't there to just warm himself at the enemy's fire. He was behind enemy lines because he was still wanting to follow his Lord. He was still wanting to be a follower of Jesus. The problem with Peter, and hear me today, because I'm going to bring this home to where now we can kind of start applying it to our lives, okay? The problem with Peter was not that he was warming himself at the enemy's fire. The problem was he was facing the largest temptation of his lifetime. And what had he not done? Anybody want to take a guess at it? Peter was facing the largest temptation of his lifetime, and what had he not done? Brother Carl spoke in sign language. I didn't know you knew sign language. That's pretty good. Carl went like this. Brother Brian, you said prayer. Pray, and a few others did as well. Peter was right in the middle of the biggest temptation that he would ever face in his lifetime. And he, earlier that evening, had slept rather than prayed. It would have been better to have been physically weary from lack of sleep than spiritually weak from lack of prayer. And yes, take that home. Take that personal. I did. It would be better for you to be physically weak because you did not get enough sleep than spiritually weak because you're not praying. You're not praying. You're not praying. Remember, Jesus had told Peter, in fact, if you go to Matthew 26, when they first went into that Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus had told Peter, in verse 40, it says, he came to his disciples and he found them sleeping and he said, he singles out Peter. Jesus knows what's fixing to happen. And he says to Peter, could not you watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. I think we've demonstrated that today. Peter went behind enemy lines. He was willing. He was wanting to follow Jesus. The spirit was willing. His spirit inside of him, his soul was wanting to follow the Lord. But Jesus had told him, listen, your spirit is willing, Peter, but your flesh is weak. You need to pray that you do not enter into temptation. You know what? If ever you could teach on the necessity of having a daily prayer life, if ever you could do that, you could do it from this text right here. That Peter, you know the story how Jesus went into the Garden of Gethsemane and he began to pray and he went back and he found his disciples sleeping. And he told them, please wake up and pray. And he went back and he prayed some more and came back a second time and found them sleeping still again. If ever there was, and I'm going to tell you, I'm not here to bring a bunch of, to talk a whole lot about all of the unrest in the world. I'd like today to just be a place, a time of refuge. But I want to tell you this much, folks. During the day and times that we are living in, we really need to be praying. We need to be praying for ourselves, our nation. We need to be praying for the people over in the Ukraine. I want to tell you, 2022 is not a time to not be praying. In fact, can I say it in a very carnal way? I've tried my best to be spiritual up here today, folks. I've poured my heart out. But can I ruin it all by saying something very carnal right now? Sister Wiggins, you know, everybody knows last year was very difficult for me and Sister Wiggins. And our daughter and son-in-law got COVID, was very, very sick. We got COVID, spent time in the hospital. You had a bunch of other problems with intestinal problems, which thank God we've gotten to the bottom of. Sister Angie, 2021... tough year, sis. Sis, I went down and buried my 41-year-old nephew. They found him dead in the back of his truck. And no alcohol, no drugs. His employer needed to take him to the emergency room, but just said, oh, go over there. And he laid down and died. 2021 was rough. And 2022, the way it's starting off, and I don't want to be a prophet of doom here. And here's my carnal. Here's why I told, this is pure carnality here. This is why I told Sister Wiggins the other day. I said, if 2021 was a movie, you would call it Jaws. And 2022, we would call it, the way it's starting off, we'd call it Jaws 2. Starting off like a sequel. You say, Brother Wiggins, that just discouraged me so bad, I don't know what to do. Well, I want to tell you something. God's in control of this whole thing. And you're going to be just fine. I'm going to be just fine. We're going to make it through all of this. But if we're going to make it through all of this, we need to pray. We need to be on our knees. And I'm not just talking Sundays. I'm talking you need to be praying every day in your homes. We need to be praying, church. This is not a time to be carnal. This is not a time to be lazy spiritually. This is a time to pray. This is a time to seek God. This is a time to have a close walk with God, not a distance, long-distance relationship. Let's all stand. I've got other verses, but I'm just going to stop right here. I don't want to preach too long. I'm just going to not preach the rest of my verses. I just want to say, I know we've got a lot of challenges. I know there's a lot of stuff that we're in a world that's full of unrest right now. And it's not just in the U.S. borders. Now it's going, and there's even reports, there's even small reports that China is beginning to fly military exercises over Taiwan. And I'm going to tell you something. This world could change a whole lot real quick. But I've got good news for you, church. We can make it through this. We'll do just fine. You're going to have a house to live in. You're going to have a car to drive. You're going to have food to eat. You're going to have clothes to wear. You're going to be just fine. But you need to be praying. Don't tie God's hands by not praying. You need to be praying. Peter was in the worst temptation of his life. And just a couple of hours earlier in that Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus was begging him, saying, you need to be praying. You need to be praying. You need to be praying. Peter was sleeping. No, I'm not throwing Peter under the bus. All I'm saying is, if we can learn from Peter's mistake, we don't have to repeat it, church. Okay? If we don't learn from history, we are doomed to repeat it. We can get through all of this COVID mess, all of this stuff just fine. But we need to stay on our knees. And we need to stay on our knees and go to the throne of God on behalf of the Christians living in the Ukraine right now. Prayer. Prayer, church. Prayer. Let's worship God today. God, I love you, Jesus. God, I praise you, Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Oh, God, I thank you, Lord. God, I thank you, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Let's gather around front and just have a time of just come and just pray. Just seek the Lord. If you would feel more comfortable staying back, if social distancing is a concern to you, you're welcome to stay back. That's fine. There's nobody's under any obligation to come. But just, if you feel like it, just come forward. Let's pray today. Oh, spend a little time with the Lord.
we stand in your holy presence, asking you, dear Lord, to have your way. Here we stand, hands uplifted high, inviting you, dear Lord, into this place.
I'm going to tell you what I read in one commentary. And again, this isn't the Bible. This is just a commentary. So it may be right. It may not be right. But the last one, the last verse of this text, and we didn't get to it. It says that after Jesus looked at Peter, Peter turned around on his heel and walked out of that courtyard of the high priest and went out into the night and wept bitterly. And you can look at several translations, and almost every English translation uses that word, bitter. In other words, it wasn't just one of those ones where a few tears streamed down his cheeks. No. Peter wept. He wept bitterly. I'll tell you what I read in one commentary. Commentary said that while Peter was regretful and remorseful for what he had done, the tears that streamed down Peter's cheeks when he wept bitterly were tears of repentance. Repentance. You know, the Bible says that a good man, righteous man, will fall, I can't even remember, it's been a little while since I've read it, but he'll fall like 70 times. See, I think it's in the Proverbs or Ecclesiastes, that a good man, just man, will fall 70 times and pick himself up and keep right on going. And this commentary said, Peter went out and he wept bitterly. But it was tears of repentance and getting himself reconciled back to Jesus. And when you look at it that way, that puts those tears that Peter cried in a whole different light, if I could say it that way. He was out there praying and weeping and getting right with God. Oh God, let that just be in our hearts today. Let that just be in our hearts today. Oh, Jesus.
My presence is here. My presence is here. My presence is here. I'm present in the sanctuary.
Hallelujah. Jesus name. Jesus name. Hallelujah. 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 Oh. Let's just worship the Lord and tarry in the presence of the Lord another moment here tonight. God, we're so thankful for you. Lord, we're so thankful. Oh, Lord, we're so thankful for you, God. Jesus' name. Jesus' name, God. Jesus' name, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. God, I thank you, Jesus. Before we're dismissed today, let's just sing that chorus one time through, and then we'll be dismissed.
And we sing hallelujah to the Lamb. Your holy name.
Let's lift our hands one more time today. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we're so thankful to you. God, you've been here with us. Lord, this has been a refuge. Lord, this place has been a refuge to us today, Lord. Oh, God, that we can get together and get in your presence. And Lord, this is a refuge. This is a place of safety. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Amen.